This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 226 for Friday, March 6th, 2015. I'm okay. Think so. Russell was getting worried there.
I am getting worried there.
We'll be all right.
I think you're still jet-lagged.
Now, you know, we'll get to that in a second. Jerry Heldenbrand here as well.
Hey, I didn't do it.
We got a small crew this weekend for good reason. We're all tired as hell. So we're back from Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. Well, actually, we're almost all back. Derek Kessler, who was with us, has not made it home yet because you are tempting.
That's not nice, Jerry.
Wow.
I'm not afraid of you, Derek.
Wow.
That's not Derek you should be afraid of.
Yeah. You get stuck in like Poughkeepsie or something. I'm just saying. So yeah, Derek's still not home. It's, you know, we're recording this on Friday afternoon and the poor guy is stuck in New York. So it, you know, it got interesting for a lot of people coming home. No, including myself, but I mean, mine was just, I had to rush a little bit. At least I didn't get stuck anywhere. But yeah, the weather's been screwy. So, man, I got a haircut today. My hair's all poofy. For everybody watching the video, poofy hair fill this week, I guess. I should be happy it's still there. So, yeah, I'm tired, but I'm feeling good. I'm not really all that jet lagged, I don't think. I'm excited about the week we had. I don't know about you guys. So I wanted to give the other guys the week off. So we did a podcast with them. I think, when did we do it? Sunday night? Yeah, that was Sunday night. Wow. So yeah, Alex and Andrew and Richard and Derek and Mark Wim and I were all in Spain doing MWC. It was crazy. It was fun. But I wanted to really just kind of, I guess, keep talking about Jerry and Russell with people who weren't there, kind of in the middle of it, and have an outside perspective. We were hoping to get another couple people on, but everybody's just busy this week. So it's just the three of us. It's intimate. What?
It is. Nothing. Just intimate. The look on Jerry's face when you said the word intimate was...
I was trying to say, should I say anything or should I keep my mouth shut? And I went with not saying anything.
Jerry, there were gears. Gears were turning.
Jerry's a big softy. Who are we kidding?
Oh, I would hug you if you were close enough. Totally.
So, let's just do that. And then we'll answer a bunch of Q&A for all the guys who are here and girls who are here live watching. Hi, how's it going? How are you guys? I think I might be a little tired, actually. Just saying. But after this, I can go home and keep working, because that's what we do.
Sleep with your fingers on the keyboard.
Yeah. Where do you guys want to start? There's a whole bunch. I'll let Russell pick. We'll let Russell pick. What do you want to talk about first?
It's a terrible decision to let me pick, because the first thing that I was going to say was... HTC has little dinosaurs that you can stick your re-camera in now.
Yes.
And I want one really badly.
They're really cool. They had them all behind glass, so we couldn't play with them. They are going to be retail. You'll be able to get them at some point. But they're little tiny chargers for your re-camera, and you can just like let it sit there. I don't know if they're going to... I know we talked once upon a time about maybe being able to use them as little security devices. I don't have any idea if that's actually going to happen. I mean, it's not the most practical of thing for that.
You could stream them. You can stream to YouTube with them now, but that seems like an awful long way around doing security with them. I mean, like, it would be possible in that situation, but you're getting kind of complicated after that.
Well, they're not streaming to YouTube over Wi-Fi.
I can buy a wireless security camera for $49.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once. Oh, yeah. No. You definitely wouldn't buy these for that, but...
Right. Matter of fact, I should buy a bunch of them and just put them in random places around the world.
I love
this
the
is my Chicago camera.
It was funny. I was around a lot of people who'd never used a Re before, and HTC gave out a bunch of them at their press conference on Sunday. So you see a lot of people with Re's for the first time. I still say it's a fun little product. I still say $200 is too much to pay for it. I got it when it was on sale for $99, and that
yeah, same here.
With. Yeah, and if you can get it one of the color ones, it's so much cooler. I mean, white's fine, but
yep, I got the blue. I like my blue. I think the orange one turned out really, really well, though. I saw, I think it was Lee Momi.
No, does Lee have one? Yeah, Arnie Hess has
one of the orange ones.
Arnie Hess has an orange one, and I'm so jealous of him. Those are the way to go.
I don't have one.
You don't have one?
No.
Maybe
I should have bought one.
They're fun.
I think the thing Phil and I have both found is that they're cool for time-lapse stuff.
Yes. Yeah, I did one. I think it's on my personal YouTube channel. I did a time-lapse at night off the balcony of our apartment. If you've ever been in Barcelona, you end up with all these little alleys, and all the apartments have balconies, so I was just shooting down the alley, and it was a pretty busy alley, so, you know, cool little time-lapse of people going at, like, 2 in the morning. I mean, it's fun, because, like, you're walking down the street, and there's stuff just, you know, just shoot and shoot and shoot. In fact, I don't even think I've looked at it all yet. They're tiny, fun little things, and I can't remember if I mentioned that, but, like, my kids will grab it, and my youngest discovered she can, like, stick it in her mouth and take pictures of the inside of her mouth, which is great.
You know, I actually thought about that, too.
See, you and Isabella. I'm just saying. Just saying. Now we know where she gets it.
Whoa.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Uncle Jerry.
Okay.
So other than the dinosaur, what did you see that you liked?
I was genuinely surprised by what Samsung had to offer.
In a good way?
In a good way, yeah. In a mostly good way. I mean, like, you found some software stuff afterwards that we're going to need to take a deeper look at, to be sure. But as an entire presentation, the stuff that they had to offer with the Galaxy S6 and the Galaxy S6 Edge, I think it's a really good change for Samsung to move in this, you know, kind of premium material direction, and, you know, have kind of a focus on devices that look nice and feel nice, and it's a positive change, I'm pretty sure.
There were, I think the number I was told was 7,000 people at the press conference. And that,
it was a huge venue.
Looking around, it was ginormous. And, like, I wasn't anywhere near the front, which is, you know, a little weird because I thought I was there fairly early, but I guess not. It was insane. I know people who were, like, first in line among the press, and they still weren't anywhere near the front. It was nuts. And as far as press conferences goes, I thought it was really good. It wasn't too long. It was only about 45 minutes or so. So it didn't drag on as some companies are prone to do. Two out of the first three people on stage were women, which was a big change for pretty much everybody. And it's easy to get caught up in that stuff, but I also still think it's important. I think Google does a really good job of it. If you watch their I/O keynotes, you know, a lot of diversity on stage. That's super important. It was certainly noticeable for Samsung. I thought they did a good job going through the features and specs without bludgeoning you over the head, which is kind of how I feel after, like, the GS4 and GS5.
They took a really long time for those presentations.
Yeah, this was just way more to the point. A little rhetoric. And at some point, I think Samsung took credit for material design, which was a little weird. We use these solid colors that look like material or something. I mean, fine, whatever. It was a good press conference. I came out excited and watching just everybody run to the phones. You know, we had seen it a little early, but watching everybody just run to them, and so excited. I had to wait like 20 minutes to actually touch one. I hadn't touched one before that, and it was that nuts in there. So what do you like about the designs of the phones? Let's talk about the GS6 proper first, I guess, and I keep calling it that. But there are two kinds, right? There's the Galaxy S6 and the Galaxy S6 Edge. Hey, by the way, supposedly there's a space between S and 6.
We're not
doing that.
Not ever. Nope.
And it's a lowercase edge. I don't think
I will do the lowercase edge, but the first time someone from Samsung tries to correct me about the S and the 6, I will lose it.
At least it's not a comma this time. S space 6 comma edge or something. Yeah, so let's talk about the regular one first. Jerry, did you see anything you liked here?
I mean, I like it better than the last one. They're slowly trying to move away from some of their past mistakes. And I like the fact that they admitted to some of their past mistakes and said, you know, we realize we don't like the way we did this. We've changed it, and this is how we're doing it now. Maybe this one won't be better, but at least they see areas they can improve and are trying to improve them. That was my biggest takeaway, is that you don't have some production manager saying, well, everything we do is perfect, keep doing it. You have somebody saying that we could probably do this better, let's try to do it better. And that's going to help everybody. I mean, I'm not a fan of everything but the kitchen sink. So while these phones probably aren't for me, I think they're a big improvement over last year's models.
It feels a lot different. I know people are saying it looks like an iPhone, and from that one, you know, bottom-up view, yes, it does. But if you hold it, I mean, see it, feel it, hold it, put it in that context,
But it on looks, it looks almost exactly like a phone Samsung made in 2012, a Windows phone, too. So yeah. Don't get too carried away by looks. That's a pretty common design, thin and rounded corners.
And I forget who said it the other day. Maybe it was you. Who was I talking to? But, you know, so what? Well, that means it's a good phone design.
That's right. I've always said that.
It's not like the iPhone is an unpopular phone.
If something works, do it. If you can do it better, do it better.
If it looked like the Motorola backflip or something, I would, you know, have a problem with that. But, oh, my God, it looks like a good phone. Well, okay. It's almost too thin for me. And, I mean, again, that's one you're going to have to see when you hold it. But it's really thin.
By looking at the pictures, I had the same thought. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be too thin.
And part of the downside that comes with that thinness, and this is something that Alex has kind of railed on since we first heard about it, is the potential for there to be less than spectacular battery life with this thing. You know, we've got a pretty powerful processor in there, a ridiculously powerful display, and a 2550 milliamp hour battery. It's not...
But you
not
can
a whole lot of math
fast.
That needs to happen.
And you can charge it a lot.
You can charge it fast. You can charge it a lot. And I am also a big fan of what they did with wireless charging. I think combining Qi and PowerMat into the backplate and making it native is a big deal for me personally. I'm a wireless charging nerd. I love having the option available. So I think that that's cool. But I am... really looking forward to being surprised about the battery. I hope that I am.
For me, quick charging is still the bigger deal. And I'm a big fan of wireless charging too, but I can live without it. And part of it's just because I have so many devices here that don't have it. But you know, it's great to have if that's your option. I love that we have wireless charging and quick charging now, and this will be the first... the Nexus 6 has it too, I guess. This will be probably the first one that I actually use a lot that has it, so that's going to be a big deal.
What I see is, you know, even if you only can get 5-6 hours out of the battery, you put a wireless charger in your car, you put one at your desk, and at home on the coffee table you have one of those IKEA wireless charging lamps. And when you set your phone down, just set it there.
And that was very
you never
much,
have to worry about it.
Yeah, that was very much what they were getting to. I wonder if I can put one on this desk here. Can I drill it like, route into
it? I would be down with that idea if I could also sew a wireless charging plate into my hoodie. But if I leave the house for the day and take the family out to see something, and that battery doesn't last me 6 hours because I spent 6 hours walking around the National Mall with my kids taking pictures and doing stuff like that, then it becomes a problem. So, I mean, it is very, very nice to have the you know, quick charging and the wireless charging. And for day-to-day stuff, especially for someone who is as close to home as I am, and even people who are in the office all day, then it's probably not going to matter. But there is something to be said for getting 12 hours out of a phone without having to work for it.
And really, I mean, you're going to have people for whom it's going to be fine, and you're going to have people for whom it's not going to be enough battery, right?
Well, you always
and,
that. Yeah.
And we already know that there's going to be those wraparound battery cases for it.
Yep, Mophie's doing one.
That'll get it some extra juice, which we don't see particularly often with Android phones. It really speaks to how many Samsung phones this company knows are going to sell and how many of those people are going to do one.
And that's what's crazy, because Mophie's been doing one. Did they do one for the GS3? I don't remember. I know they did the 4 and 5 because I took a look at them. And, I mean, that's crazy that they did a battery case for a phone with a removable battery. But, I mean, they've been partnered up for a while now. So, yeah, we'll take a look at that when they're available and some of the other ones. And they're going to be a much bigger deal now. The glass is interesting, and I need more time with it before I can really say. But it didn't feel to me like the Nexus 4 did.
No, and Andrew had some neat things to say about the way that the colors were built into it and the kind of materials that were used in the glass.
The colors are beautiful. Oh, my God. The blue and the – or is it teal? The blue and the green, just gorgeous. But fingerprints. Really, really bad fingerprints. Yeah, white doesn't show them quite so much. But, yeah, like the colors look gorgeous under there. I hope to God the U.S. carriers actually do the colors. They have a habit of not. But yeah, the color, I mean, the colors are just gorgeous. What else? What other questions do you have? Nothing. All right. Good podcast.
I'm really disturbed about what you touched on in the software.
Yeah. That's what I was getting ready to go to.
All right. So here's the thing. If you haven't seen it, there is this sort of, I forget what it's called, this tools section that, does these things that will optimize your phone. And remember, go back and watch the press conference again. They're talking about how this is the most innovative, the most technologically advanced phone they have ever made. And then you have this section that says, boost your battery life, clean up your storage space, gain your RAM back. Does any of this sound familiar? Does any of this sound like it's from another company that we've talked about here on the podcast? Yes. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's CleanMaster.
Yeah.
And
it is more specifically, it says powered by CleanMaster. It's Cheetah Mobile. And they also have McAfee on there for malware stuff.
Oh.
You can't see. There's Jerry. Click over to him. There you go. Right there.
Why? I mean, all that does is make you think. Number one, that you need to babysit how your phone manages its resources. Number two, that you need some sort of protection because your cell phone is prone to malware. That's the two things that including that stuff does to, buyers who may not know any better. All the stuff to manage your resources, Samsung already had on there before. Sony has it. HTC has it.
The Nexus has it.
Stamina mode. All that stuff is already there, either right in your face or you dig into the settings. And if you need to do it, somebody should show you how to dig into the settings and do it. Don't throw it out there and make you think you have to do it.
Well, I don't mind the idea of having the stuff all in one place. I'm not necessarily sure it needs to be. You don't have to have click here to force quit apps. That's not necessarily a great idea. I get it from a business standpoint, right? Like, hey, we're giving consumers a way to take control of their phones and make sure they run as good as they can, and that makes sense. I get that.
What makes more sense to me, somebody made money off this, and that's why it's there. The person who made money for every phone that sold with this on it really wanted it on there and talked a slick game, and it's there. I might be wrong, but that's just my takeaway from it.
No, I think you're right, and in and of itself, these things are not evil. My bigger issue is that CleanMaster is this company that acts like your phone is inherently unsafe and that it's going to explode at any minute if you don't do these specific things to it. And that's simply not true. That doesn't mean your phone might not slow down over time. It will. I almost guarantee you it will. Mine do. But to act like you have to have as much RAM free as possible is just misunderstanding how RAM works on these things. And to act like you have to clear your cache, all the time to act like you don't want apps to ever use battery. I mean, the picture I used in the post on that says where it's recommending you close down the Android system UI, which obviously isn't going to happen. You can hit end and it obviously, your phone doesn't shut off. So, wait a minute, does it just not work? But my bigger thing was, if this phone is that technologically advanced, if it is that awesome of a phone, why do I need any of this?
You don't.
It's a little bit evil. Clean Master is a little bit evil. Not explaining this stuff to the users is not okay. I mean, having the tools there is awesome, because there are legitimately times, especially in Android 5.0, where some kind of button to push to kill something in a centralized location is not the worst idea ever. I from moving to the Moto X to 5.0 and then the Galaxy S5 to 5.0, there are some weird situations where my battery just plummets because I've got a rogue app doing something and the system tracker for 5.0 has no idea what's responsible for it. So, I mean, there are legitimately times where an application like this would happen, would be useful, but unless you explain to the user what's happening, the user is going to unknowingly do more harm than good by opening this thing up once or twice a day and blowing away all of your cache and blowing away all of your your battery consuming things in order to get this kind of perceived improvement to performance, completely unaware that, you know, your phone needs these things to run sometimes.
And it's going to start them back up and consume even more battery to start them up than it would have used if it just let them run in the background.
Yeah, I mean, a cache in and of itself is not a bad thing, right? You download something once so you don't have to do it every time. Why? I mean, that shouldn't be that hard to understand.
Let's see, the thing is Russell hit on it. Sometimes you need to do this on a very rare occasion. But what they're doing is lumping it all together. You need to do it. We're not going to tell you why, how, or when, but you need to do it, so here, do it.
You know, and it's not like an evil UI. It's not screaming at you with these big flashing red lights, mostly, at least, you know, in the short time I used it. You know, you have to do this or your phone will explode, and it didn't do that. But, yeah, it gave me a bad feeling, and then the press releases that were going out didn't help, and I get that that's inside baseball and just us, but... Yeah, I thought Samsung was better than that. Somebody told me they weren't. I think they are. I think you have a really good phone, and that's just not the sort of thing that they should be doing.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but I expect better from them. Solely on the size of their company, the scale, and the talent they have working there, I get doubly disappointed when I see this from Samsung, because they have the potential to produce the perfect phone for all occasions. If that can ever be created, it'll be Samsung who does it.
Here are the things. I'm looking at the post I did right now, and it says active applications 51. System and apps are using 2.1 gigabytes, 461 megabytes of RAM free. Active applications 51. Samsung push service, Android system, security policy updates. You know, are those three apps I think I should end? Never mind the fact that you're not actually going to end them if you hit the end button. It's just, you know.
There's a difference between Chrome running in the background and, you know, kernel services running.
Right.
And if you can't make the distinction between the two, don't show either.
And by the way, we can talk about it in a minute, but CleanMaster did show up in a different respect on the new HTC phone. So it's obvious they've been doing a lot of deals. They've been knocking on doors, being like, hey, we can help. So, I don't
know. Not our fault, guys.
I don't think it's a deal breaker. People have been asking, can you disable it? I don't know if you can disable it, but you can just not use it, which is better than nothing. But, yeah, it left a really bad taste in my mouth for what otherwise is a really good phone. The display is gorgeous. Haven't gotten to test the camera out. So we'll see about that. But if it's anywhere near as good as what they're trying to tell us, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, we'll take a quick break and then we'll talk about the Galaxy 6 Edge, because there's a lot to talk about there as well. Well, sort of. How about we do that?
Yes.
Then we'll do some Q&A. So hang on, be right back. Believe it or not, folks, I don't know how to do everything. I know, it's hard to believe. But believe me this, I wouldn't be half as good at the stuff I actually can do if it weren't for lynda.com. That's lynda.com, and it's your source for more than 3,000 on-demand video courses that'll help strengthen your skills in business, technology, and all things creative. Maybe you need to learn Microsoft Excel, or how to negotiate a deal, or build a website, or edit photos and videos. Pretty much anything and everything it takes to do some serious work in 2015. And lynda.com can help. Now, we take a lot of pictures here at Android Central, and not a week goes by in which I don't use Linda to learn something new in Photoshop. All those videos we do, Linda's Final Cut Pro courses have saved me hours. No, they've saved me days in editing and processing time. Some other courses we recommend are Android Tips and Tricks and Programming the Internet of Things with Android. And if you need a little help pushing your app out to the world, be sure to check out Distributing Android Apps with David Gassner. With Lynda.com, you can watch and learn from top experts who are passionate about teaching. You can stream thousands of video courses on demand and learn on your own schedule at your own pace. You can download tutorials and watch them on the go, including on your Android or iOS device. Your Lynda.com membership will give you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for one flat rate. So whether you're looking to become an industry expert, are passionate about a hobby, or just want to learn something new, visit lynda.com/androidcentral and sign up for your free 10-day trial. That's lynda.com/androidcentral.
Remember those way back when, like, Johnny Carson show outtakes when they'd cut away for a commercial and coffee cups and cigarettes came out and stuff?
Okay, so the Galaxy 6 Edge. Picture GS6 with two edge screens, like on the Note 4. Not quite, it doesn't feel quite as sloped to me. Maybe it is. I don't remember exactly what the curve is. But, wow, it's a little crazy, because what it does, it really takes the edge down to almost like the M8. It's really thin on the edges, and there's a tiny, it's kind of sharp. So actually, you get a little bit of grip off that. But it's crazy. Like, I mean, it's almost like a backwards M8, right?
Well, now, before, this is just beveled edges on the screen, right? There's no special panels running there.
No. It's like the Note Edge. It's the curved display.
But there's no, it's not like a separate little edge panel.
No, it's not like the
Right. So it's just changing the way you view your information and the way you hold your phone, rather than giving you a strip of extra info.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you're doing a little bit, actually. It gives it a different look and feel, very different look and feel. It has this excellent, and I forget the name of it, you see this tiny little, just like, color. I wish I was holding a proper Samsung phone, not an HTC phone for this, but you know, right here on the edge, you'll see a little highlighted yellow tab, and you pull that out, and on the side here, it will show you five contacts who you like to frequently talk to, and if one of them calls you, you get another tab. You know, if you have a missed notification, you get a different color tab down below, and it's really nicely done. At first when I held it, I didn't like it. I thought it was too thin. But the more I used it, and I haven't used it for an extensive amount of time yet, but holding an untethered one, in, you know, one in each hand, it's really pretty grippy, actually, and maybe more grippy than the GS6 proper, just because of those edges. So, I mean, otherwise it's exactly the same phone as the GS6. It's just those small software differences in the physical differences. And it's pretty stunning, guys.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, people are going to go a little nuts over this. What do you think, Russell?
I was really happy by some of the software stuff that I saw on the Note 4 Edge, and I get that I'm one of the few people who thought that was a good idea, but the stuff that that is represented here I still think is pretty cool, and there's, you know, especially the way that the clock shows up at night when it's sitting at your bedside table, and the way that you'll be able to flip it face down and have little notification colors pulse out when you're in a meeting, despite the natural instinct to cringe when a phone is face down on a table. I think that it's, you know, they've got a couple of neat ideas, and maybe that was what was necessary. Maybe it was necessary to scale this back in order to make it something that appeals to everyone.
Yeah, it's not, you don't get all the software that you get in the Note 4 Edge. You don't get the ruler.
I was unreasonably excited about that ruler. I think I've brought it up like 10 times.
Yeah. You don't get, I don't think I need to check again, but you don't get the same, you know, camera stuff, I think. I need to double check on that. I just don't remember. It's been a long week.
Now, I like the camera stuff, but
I thought the camera stuff on the Note 4 Edge was really well done, actually.
Then I saw the weird horizontal scrolling Twitter feed and just shook my head and said no.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. I can't wait to hear from people when they finally start getting to play with these and hold them and hear what they have to say about it. Because I know what we think. But to be honest, I've been back and forth several times over which one I think is better. And I don't think I can decide yet.
Well, when they showed that picture of it and, you know, face down, like Russell said, but when a call came in and it was just like a little light yellow underglow, like a tuner car or something, I was like, yeah, that looks pretty hot.
You want to look in the Q&A, see what these guys are saying about it? Are they saying anything?
We do definitely have some stuff going on.
Then he says, I don't think the battery will be an issue due to it sounds like the hardware is more energy efficient, so you can do more with less. Maybe.
But that's... So, we've heard that with laptops forever, and until last year, if you got more than 5 hours out of your laptop, you were loving life.
And even if that's true of the processor, which it very well could be, it is most certainly not true of the display.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you run out and buy it just because it's going to last forever because it's got a new chip. It's probably not.
Andrew reminds me that the camera does look the same on GS6 Edge as the S6. So everything's in the middle, not on the edge like on the Note Edge.
Sadness.
So, Denny also says they should not load CleanMaster on the devices or any kind of bloatware. Well, it's going to happen.
You know what they should have done? They should have put a shortcut on the home screen that you tap it, it takes you into Google Play.
Yep.
Where you can download CleanMaster. And if you don't want it, you just delete the damn shortcut.
I am not happy with how HTC did this because they, you know, they are presenting CleanMaster to you as well. But I am way less angry with HTC than I am with Samsung because HTC has given you the option to say no. Samsung has flat out baked it into the operating system, and that's problematic.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about HTC then. How about that? So this here is an HTC One M8. The HTC One M9 is very close to it physically. I did the preview on that, and I tell you, I like it a lot. If you like the M8, you're going to like the M9. It's that simple. It's a little bit smaller. It's got this little gold shelf side that just makes it's so much easier to hold, partially because it's narrower, but this little shelf there just makes it so much easier to hold. Duo camera is gone. We now just have this really big window, and I forget why the window is bigger. I need to double check that. 20 megapixel, you know, sensor. No more ultra pixel on the back. It is now moved out front for the selfie camera. Snapdragon 810, Sense 7, which is more like Sense 6.5. You have a different home screen scheme in that it tries to be predictive and adapt to, you know, the apps you use when you're in specific places. You really good theme engine. if you're what, you don't like it?
No,
Jerry's grumpy for the same reason I'm grumpy.
If I wanted that crap, I'd download one of those horrible home apps that changes where it thinks it knows better what I want than what I put there myself.
You had to know this was coming. This was the direction HTC has been heading in for 2 or 3 years now, where they've been integrating these smaller things that are all about holding your hand. We saw this with BlinkFeed last year, where BlinkFeed would pick feeds based on the stuff that it thought that you were interested in, and it would adjust things based on what it thought you cared about. This was the logical evolution of that thing, and they're not wrong. There are some users out there who genuinely enjoy having their hand held.
I see. I would go beyond that. I would say most users could use their handheld. Walk down the street, pick out some random person, and see what their home screen looks like.
Yeah, it's just icons. It basically, you know, it might as well be an iPhone for, you know, all of my icons are on the desktop. I don't use the launcher for anything. I know plenty of people like that. You're not wrong.
The way they're implementing it is interesting. All it is a widget, so you can just get rid of the damn thing if you don't want it. It's not like you're stuck with it. Not even like you're stuck with BlinkFeed, but even BlinkFeed you can get rid of now. So it's just a widget. So, you know, obviously you can put a third-party launcher on that. It's probably what I'm going to do too. I am going to use it for a little while and just see how it adapts. I'm kind of curious about that. But, yeah, I don't like the idea of an application, you know, jumping around where I'm used to it being around. I know what I use. I'm the best predictor of that. So that's the way I want it. But, like, for my mom, absolutely. My mom's home screen is a mess. So I get why they did that. Yeah, the theme engine I think is really well done. Samsung has one as well, but HTC's is better designed. So there are going to be a lot of places to play around with that. And then within this home screen widget we were talking about, yes, there are two other folders. One is a downloads folder, so anything you download off Google Play ends up in there. It kind of acts as your app drawer. And then the other one is suggested apps. And it's weird. It's kind of regional because I saw a bunch of Spanish apps in the day and a half that I used it. So, you know, obviously it was figuring out where I was. But then, yes, I also saw Clean Master. Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, bum, bum.
What was really weird is that this folder, like, wasn't even well designed. It was pretty obvious that somebody decided this was going to be done, and the designer said, screw it, just make it look like whatever. Because, like, the names of apps, if they were too long, and the majority of them were, it would just cut off. And the summaries could only have, like, 8 words before they cut off.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It was just not... Like, here's everything else that is pixel perfect. And then you get down to this suggested apps thing. Now, again, not the end of the world. You can get rid of the downloaded apps folder if you want. You can get rid of the suggested apps folder. It's you know, easy option to do right there. But... It's HTC is better than that, just like we said about Samsung. Especially, I don't know who's picking the apps. I'm pretty sure it's not like handpicked by somebody.
Well, that's just robots. The thing. If you want to use the word suggested, you need to curate it. And if they're not going to curate it and they're just having some algorithm decide based on popularity what's suggested, no, don't push that into people because people will blindly say, well, this must be good, and use it, and then they've got Clean Master on their phone.
What do you guys think about the design? That was when it was announced, you know, the problem is there were all these leaks that were showing something else, and it turns out to be this iteration off the M8, which I say is not a bad thing. I like the M8 a lot. I think they fixed a lot of the things that I wanted them to fix. It's easier to hold. It's a little more narrow. Is that enough for you? Do you think they should have done something radically different just because?
No, I like the design of the 1M7, and I was less happy with the 1M8, but it still wasn't bad. I do want to know what difference, if any, the whole two-tone metal thing that they were bragging about means when you hold it. Because that was a big thing, was that the whole point of it being two-tone was that it felt different around the edges than it did around the back. And that I'm curious about, but I think Jerry's going to explode if I don't stop talking.
I think the M7 was one of the nicest phones ever made. I mean, I like the Nexus 4 iPhone 4S dual glass design, and maybe I'll like the new Samsung design, but the M7 was wonderful to hold. It was a little big for me, but probably not too big for most people. You weren't going to drop it, and it felt like it was indestructible, like it would take a bullet. When they moved away from that and made something that was a little more slippery and a little longer, I wasn't very happy. But the overall design, I think they nailed it, and it's not something that you want to change.
It's not all the way back to the M7.
I know.
It's. I mean, look at the picture. I think I ran it again this morning of the three phones next to each other. It's really weird seeing the third iteration in that family being not the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
That was really strange for me. I can't wait to see what you guys think once you hold it. And it will be sooner rather than later if it's going to be out in mid-March, at least in Europe. It feels great. The camera was the other question mark, and that's kind of where I got to leave it. What we saw was not final software. I can't say that enough. I also, you know, have to stress, we used it, and those of us who were there early and used it early, used it for no more than 36 hours. You know, you can get a bunch of sample shots that way. That's fine. I don't think you can really get the experience of using a camera that quickly. I want to take this thing home and run around with my kids, right? I want to, you know, try to shoot my dog and get it to launch that quickly.
You want to stick it in their mouth and see if you can take pictures of
no, I do not want to do that. So I know some, you know, some people put out these posts that said these are not, you know, this is not a good camera. I don't know that yet because I put a few sample pictures out on Google Plus a few days later. Didn't really put them in the preview we did for that very reason. I didn't want to have that conversation yet. I want to see the final product and actually use it as we need to use it. But, you know, some of the pictures I got were really good. in good light. Some of the pictures we took at Sagrada Familia, you know, at 9 o'clock at night, not so great. And it was pretty obvious that, you know, we went to HTC and said, look, there's a whole lot of noise going on in these pictures that they just do not look good. So that's going to be a thing. And I mean, you get the standard line. It's not final software. I don't even know what that means. So I'm going to hope that it gets better. I'm going to wait till we get, you know, the final retail product. And if it sucks, then we're absolutely going to say so. But
right. Stick them to it. If they say this is it, this is what we wanted to sell, and this is final, that's when you worry if it's good or bad.
Yeah, and I'm already seeing people say, well, did you use the one that had the software update for the camera fix? As if there's this one magical update that's just going to make it night and day. And that's generally not how things work, people. So let's be a little careful throwing that phrase around. Because you're really just setting yourself up for failure. I don't think this camera is going to be as good as what Samsung's doing. I just don't. It probably won't be as good as what LG is doing. But I would probably take it being better than Motorola. You know, the fact of the matter is, not everybody's going to have the world's best camera.
Well, I think good, is it good for you?
Right.
I mean, you can show me a picture from, you know, an iPhone 6 Plus that somebody put on a tripod and framed it, and I can pick it apart and tell you why it looks like crap because it's from a tiny little sensor phone. But is it good enough for you? That's where it really matters. So, you know, you'll have to see. Phil will have plenty of pictures for you to look at, and I'll yes. bug him and make sure that he uploads the full-size images somewhere. So you can download them and see exactly
what... There was somebody else on Google Plus saying, like, oh, yeah, well, you can see from the way these were compressed that, you know, this is the compressed size and blah, blah. It's like, well, you don't know what the full size was, which, by the way, is exactly what got uploaded here. So everybody's second-guessing so much stuff. It's a little crazy. Oy. What about the M8? Yeah, I mean, the software is good. The software in and of itself is really fast. So they've done that really well for a while. I mean, it's just some of the stuff was just not quite, you know, the camera. We'll see. I don't know. What else? Had a really good fitness app. I don't know. Let's go through the Q&A.
Then we'll, do then we want to talk about the other. Do we want to talk about not Mobile World Congress?
Sure. What do you got?
NVIDIA did this thing.
Oh, well, hang on. Let's finish the M9, and then we'll go into right. NVIDIA. Yeah, look, we're going long today. Face it.
Woo!
we got a lot left to go over. We'll speed up a little bit, maybe. Ryan wants to know, with the M9 sharing the screen size with the M8 and the GS6 and the screen size with the... have we reached the peak in terms of phone sizes? No, you haven't.
I mean, Huawei announced a 7-inch phone?
Yeah, Huawei is a 7-inch phone. I've seen it. It's ginormous. It's ridiculous. It was there. What were you saying, Jerry?
I was just going to say Xperia Z Ultra. Until we get bigger than that, we have not reached the pinnacle yet.
Yeah. I had so much fun using that phone. I only got to use it for like a day and a half. I didn't get to do a whole lot with it. And it was just ridiculous. Like, I couldn't take it anywhere, but when I was sitting like on my couch, it was a lot of fun to play with.
Dude, you know what? I actually got it confused with my Nexus 7 more than once.
that's not surprising.
Flipping through, Ryan wants to know, is the HTC One design language so dated the M9 should have been radically different? No, I don't think it is. I think you take something that was almost universally declared the best-looking smartphone of 2015, and you do not blow that up. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not. And, you know, there is absolutely nothing wrong with being able to spot an HTC phone out of a crowd.
Is there anything to these Samsung screen problems, asked Carl. I have no idea what that is.
He may be talking about somebody purportedly says they won't be able to make enough screens and it'll be a rough launch.
That's their problem, not mine.
I mean, is it... that's not the worst position.
They, yeah.
By they, you of course mean... the people who are writing the articles, not Samsung, who would be perfectly happy to go and get materials from elsewhere in order to make sure that they had enough at launch. They're a big company. They're not gonna Nexus us.
And if there's another,
that's Samsung's problem too. Not
right. If there's another screen issue, my apologies. I'm assuming that's the one you're talking about.
Is HTC going to come out with another version of the M9, asks Denny. I don't really know what that means.
They're going to have 3-4 new versions of it, even though they're only going to make one phone a year. Just like they did the M7 and the M8. They're going to have a ginormous one and a tiny
M9
one.
M9 Mini.
A plastic one and a cheap one, and that's just how this business works.
And you still have the Desire line, too, which is
right.
It's so fun to see all these phones in one place at these trade shows, because I don't think most people understand how good the Desire line is. That is a really nicely made phone for being, mid-range.
HTC made me eat my words with the last Desire, that base model that I had that I thought, was a great phone, too expensive, and then they told me the real price of it, and it's one hell of a buy. Don't overlook them if you're in the market for a phone that doesn't cost $800.
Oh, by the way, what do you think of the display only being 1080p?
I think that's the smartest thing any company did this year so far.
Do you know how many times I've looked at a 1080p screen and a 2K screen or a 1440 screen on a 5-inch phone and was able to tell the difference?
Once.
Zero times.
Only if you were looking at like the specs on the phone.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I stared for 36 hours and it was fine.
Well, I know that's, 28% less pixels to light up on an LCD? Sounds pretty smart to me.
Flipping through the Q&A, Denny wants to know, will HTC come out with a smartwatch? I don't know. Maybe.
I must be chopping up. Back to that screen real quick for a second.
Yes.
You've held it. Is the screen beautiful?
Yeah. I mean, it looked like an HTC screen. We all thought it kind of looked a little green. And maybe they're not done with the tuning. Maybe they tuned it green and we just don't like it. I use so many phones. I'm just kind of used to screens looking different.
Is it
bad? Is it wrong?
You're possibly using an AMOLED phone day in, day out, and are used to it being too blue.
Maybe.
I mean, it's just what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. All right, well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, then we'll talk some more non-HTC stuff, maybe a little more HTC stuff, and go from there. Shaving is a pain. Now, don't try to tell me it's easy. Just don't tell me it's fun. The goal is to get in, get out, and get on with the parts of your life that don't involve dragging a sharp slice of metal across your face. And we've been paying how much for that sort of abuse? That's where Harry's comes in. Harry's was started by a couple guys who wanted a better product without paying an arm and a leg to get it. In fact, Harry's liked the razor blades so much that they purchased the factory in Germany that was making them. And with these high-quality, high-performing German blades, crafted by shaving experts, by the way, you get a better shave that respects your face as much as it does your wallet. And let's talk about efficiency. Harry ships directly to your house, for free, so there's no having to go to the drugstore and deal with those annoying plexiglass cabinets. No more having to pay an arm and a leg. In fact, you'll be paying about half of what you usually pay for the big brand blades. Harry's has a starter set that's $15 for a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 razor blades. On average, an everyday shaver will save about $150 a year on blades using Harry's. And it makes even more sense if you're like me and don't shave every day. Why would you pay full price for a little cleanup and edge work around that glorious, luxurious beard of yours? Harry's is simply easy and affordable as it can get. And Harry's razor handles have that old school look, so they look great on your bathroom counter too. So experience a clean, close, comfortable shave with Harry's. Go to harrys.com now, that's HARRYS.com, and enter coupon code AC to save $5 on your first purchase. That's harrys.com, and use coupon code AC to save $5. Start shaving better today.
This is the part where the intern comes out and powder spills face.
Refills any beverages.
All right, so Russell wants to talk non-HTC stuff. I still have like 2 HTC things we need to talk about real quick, but go right ahead.
No. Let's do the HTC stuff because I'm going to talk for a couple of minutes when we get onto GDC stuff.
We have the HTC Grip. That is a fitness band. It's kind of a normal looking fitness band. It is what it is. It's going to tie into the UA Record app. It's kind of weird. It doesn't yet tie into HTC's fitness app, which is separate from UA Record, on the M9. It's actually really nice. I played with it very briefly, but it's very nicely designed. So I wore it. I mean, it's a pretty normal fitness band, and I was kind of nonplussed. I mean, it's not bad or anything. It's just, okay, it's a fitness band. Cool.
Well, that's actually a good endorsement. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing whatsoever.
I tell you what I was really excited about, and really kind of the craziest announcement of the week, I think, was the HTC Vive, which is the virtual reality helmet that they're doing with, well, it's not just a helmet, but it's, you know, it's a visor that they're doing with Valve, you know, the Steam guys. And I'm not well-versed in virtual reality, but maybe that makes me the perfect person to, you know, explore this. I don't know. You know, it's one of those big, giant visors, and it's incredible, guys. Oh, my God. When they first told us about it, they're like, we're doing virtual reality with Valve, but we can't really talk about it. And then when they did talk about it, everyone's still kind of like, I don't know, what were your reactions when you first heard them say that on stage?
I got really excited because, I mean, we've known for a while that the guys at Steam have been, or the guys at Valve have been eyeballing Steam virtual reality, and there was a lot of talk for a very long time about them doing stuff with Oculus, and it never came together. And then they were going to do their own presentation, I think at GDC last year, where everyone thought that they were going to unveil their own hardware and never did. And it just kind of stopped. Everyone got real quiet for a while. And so it was very cool for someone who has been following this for a while to see those two companies on stage together. That excited me a lot.
My first, I'm not going to lie, my first thing that went through my head when they virtual reality in Valve, sticking my hand through a portal and looking and watching it come out over there. And that's exactly what went through my mind, and that has to happen.
It was, I can't tell you just how amazing it was to try it out.
No, you know what? You did tell us. That was a wonderfully written piece, and you're my, yeah, boss, my friend, but I still want to give you a clap. That was one of the most entertaining articles I've read on any website so far this year.
It's fun when I write something, and Jerry can tell that I'm having fun writing it, because he always tells me that. And he says, I can tell you like that phone. You're not. It's not just you're writing about it, and you know it was a little painful, but I can tell you like that. And that's how I felt writing that. Like, I started as soon as I got done with that demo. I was like, clear my plate off. I have to get this out right now because it was that much fun. And I'm still, I was telling somebody, I went to lunch with my wife today, and her office is across the street from where we ate. And I went inside to say hey to people and was telling them about this thing. And I'm still excited just talking about it. So you put this thing on, and like at first you see this little menu, and this is a very scripted demo. They're walking me through things. I'm wearing these big, you know, headphones, and there's a guy with a microphone, the computer, who's running the demo, talking to me and explaining things, and I'm holding these controllers in each hand. They're kind of like Wii controllers. I think Engadget had pictures of the finished ones. The ones I had were prototypes. They're going to be wireless when the retail thing comes out. And there are lasers shooting down off the walls from these two sensors that see the visor, and they see your controllers, and that's how they can tell where you are. And you're given this 15 by 15 box that you can walk around in. So the very first thing I'm seeing is I'm underwater, and there's schools of fish floating by, and I'm just sitting there like, damn, that's cool. Wow. And you start looking around a little bit. Okay, I'm on a pirate ship, I guess, or I'm on some sort of like sunken boat deck. And I'm standing there at the edge, and it's a low railing. It's like a, you know, foot and a half railing, it looked like. And on the other side of that, it's just this abyss, this chasm. And I'm leaning over, looking at it, and I'm really just like, ooh, let's back up. Like, I mean, I was consciously backing away from it because I did not want to fall off. Now, I'm a relatively smart guy, but I should know better than that, right? I should know that I'm in this room, in this convention center. I'm not underwater in a pirate ship, and I'm not going to fall off. But wow, that was a weird feeling. They said they've done demos where you're on a cliff, and people will refuse to walk off the cliff.
Yep.
They just will not do it.
You should see some of the videos on YouTube where people have done that to other things, and it's just insane. You were definitely not alone in that like crazy realistic feeling. It's cool stuff.
It is. I mean, the only other VR stuff I've done is the Galaxy Gear, and for as cool as that is, and cardboard, I guess, for cool as that is, you're watching something in front of you.
Right.
And you can move around, and it moves with you. This was, you are in it. There's no other way to describe it. You are part of this world. You're not just watching it. There's the next demo was you're in a kitchen and suddenly you have hands and the controllers will pick things up. If you, as you get close to something, it highlights in blue, and you can hold down the controller, you can hold down the thumb button, and it picks it up. And it was really funny in that when you're supposed to make soup, and I'm just like, okay, how do you make soup? Well, I've made soup. I know how to make soup. So I was thinking about it like you think about a video game, right? Like there are specific things I have to do to make soup. I was finally like, no, I can do whatever I want. I threw a whole onion in there. Fine, not a problem. There's a bottle of sriracha. Let's just throw the bottle in there. Don't worry about it. At some point, I knocked a frying pan off the stove and immediately moved my foot to get out of the way. Because who wants to drop a frying pan on their foot? And it was just the weirdest feeling. There was 3D art. So you're painting and moving around, and then you can, turn and go through the art and look at it from a different direction. And just, wow, it was cool. And I have no place in my house for this. I should sell my couch.
I've got to get one of those.
That's the question, right? Like, they're going to be ready for consumers by the end of the year. I have no idea how much. I have no idea if you're going to have to have a special PC, or I would imagine they probably have some sort of like Steam type box, right? Maybe?
So like they have the Steam machines that are pretty reasonable hardware for reasonable prices, but this should work with any modern computer. Like there'll be a base set of specs, and if what we've seen from Oculus is any indicator, then it'll be pretty reasonable as far as, the video output requirements for most laptops and stuff. It'll probably work with your MacBook. It'll your MacBook will cook in the process, but it'll work with that kind of thing, without a whole lot of problems, because that's they're gonna have to try and find some kind of middle ground there, and they'll do it.
I know between now and March 6th of next year, I am going to do a podcast with one of those things on my.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I mean, if I sound excited about it, it's because I am. There was one where I was in, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like you were in like a model train set, only it wasn't a train set. It was like medieval castle sort of thing, and there were all these little guys, and there was this epic battle going on. And I'm like leaning in, trying to get close to these guys and see what they're like and see what they're doing. That's the only time I really started having a problem with the resolution of what I was seeing. I was getting so close to it. The rest of the time, I thought it was great. The other thing was, I was worrying that I was missing things, and the demonstrator kept telling me, "All right, well, look around. There's some Easter eggs in this if you can find them." And so I start, paying more attention to individual things, trying to see them, knowing full well there's stuff going on behind me. That was the other thing, is like remembering that I can turn around and there's stuff going on everywhere. And I was telling my wife's coworkers, I said, it's different in that as I'm standing in your newsroom, I know that there are people behind me doing things. But, and with all due respect to these people, I'm pretty sure it's not important. When I'm in this virtual space, I can be damn sure that if there's something going on behind me, it's probably something I'm going to want to see or be able to interact with. So it was almost like there was too much going on in that respect. But holy crap, it was cool. And just the programming that goes into it, that like, you don't just have to program the front of this castle. You have to program what's inside of it and what's on every level and what happens when you turn from here to there and how it was. I mean, for a guy who grew up playing, Mario Brothers, it's pretty damn cool to see.
We've come a long way from this thing.
Yes. Wow. I forgot about that, Russell.
Keep it by my side ever since like the cardboard stuff and all that. It sits near my desk.
Just
my little virtual boy. I only have the one game for it.
So we don't have price. We don't have, what it's going to take. Dev kits are going to be out this spring. I wish I haven't used Oculus. I wish I had that sort of context to put it in, and I'm sorry that I can't. But wow. I was floored. That was the coolest thing I did all week. And maybe just because it's not phones. But wow. So that was HTC. So yeah, NVIDIA at GDC this week. What did they do?
Shield.
They showed up every Android TV box that we've heard of so far, which admittedly is not a huge number, but built into TVs and boxes that are coming out later. I dare say it's not even worth seeing how they're going to turn out. because the stuff that we saw from S.H.I.E.L.D. was really and truly impressive. They've done some very cool things with taking just kind of the basic set-top box design that we know is happening with Android TV. They dropped in one of their newer processors and set it up so that you can get 4K video through it, which is a big deal considering how few devices, including like Blu-ray players and stuff, aren't going to be able to stream 4K to television, and how many smart televisions aren't going to be able to stream 4K even though they can play broadcast television in 4K, which is a weird distinction that people are going to get kind of grumpy at here in the next couple of months. But it's it was a huge deal. They announced a ton of content, including some very big video game titles that are going to be available through their store, but technically also through the Google Play Store, but kind of only available for their device, like they did with the S.H.I.E.L.D. Console controller and through the S.H.I.E.L.D. tablet. And then their game streaming service, which will be kind of a cloud gaming platform for actual computer games that should end up being just really cool. It was a very interesting standalone box that's going to be $200. Which is nothing for a set-top box that's doing what this thing claims to be able to do. And it comes with one of the controllers right out of the box. I was genuinely impressed. I'm very, very much looking forward to spending time with one.
Ditto. The only takeaway I have from it is a confusing naming convention, but that's...
Everything's a S.H.I.E.L.D.
Everything's a S.H.I.E.L.D. Because even for a minute there, I was confused. Okay, is this a S.H.I.E.L.D. tablet that goes inside the S.H.I.E.L.D. box? Wait, no, this is just a S.H.I.E.L.D. box. What about my S.H.I.E.L.D. portable? Oh, heck, just drink another beer. It's the S.H.I.E.L.D. Love it.
16 gigs of storage, is that going to be enough?
It's got USB on the go. You can plug a hard drive into it.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter.
I mean, more is always better, but
right.
For that price.
I mean, I'm definitely getting one. I'm going to recommend to anybody who's interested in Android TV or the next gen of set-top box entertainment that for $200, they should probably get one too.
My thing is that it just opens up so many more games.
Yep.
And it's not that we don't have many games on Android TV as it stands now. And in fact, I was just looking when I got back to the office yesterday just to see what was there. And there's you see new stuff there almost every week, but it's really going to open up all these Tegra optimized things now, right?
Yeah, I mean, for is that good or bad? I'm not going to be the one to judge that, but yes, it will. It's going to make a greater incentive for game developers to work with NVIDIA to Tegra optimize their games, which Tegra optimized games look amazing on the right hardware. But then you have people who don't have the right hardware that may be feeling left out in the cold.
It makes me excited for Android TV this year, because it kind of felt a little stagnant after they announced it.
I mean, we had a feeling that something like this was coming along somewhere, and I mean, there were some rumors before the Nexus Player came out that we would see something from NVIDIA maybe, and all this stuff was kicking around the internet in a, this wasn't completely unexpected, but I didn't expect all this. I was pleasantly surprised.
Also, the system level audio splitting.
Yes.
Which is something they talked about a little tiny bit, and it's a way bigger deal than I think most people realize. It's both the S.H.I.E.L.D. controller and the remote control for the TV have audio ports. They have regular 3.5 millimeter jacks. And when you plug headphones into it, any audio that comes from the S.H.I.E.L.D. console will stop playing from the television and start playing in your headphones.
Right.
Which means you can be in bed while your partner is asleep and watch television or play video games. Or if you're like me and you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because of reasons and decide you want to, play a game, you don't wake up everyone else in the house. It is a surprisingly big deal to people who have access to it. And it's been kind of missing from a lot of the streaming boxes. The Roku has done a really good job with it over the last couple of years. And I think Koch figured out a hacky way to make it work on only his app inside of the Amazon Fire TV. But to have system-level audio splitting on this device is, I think, going to be a big deal.
cool. When is this coming out?
Sometime by the end of the year. We don't. See, I don't think we were given.
Was it that long?
No, I think it's. I think it's within the next month or two, but we haven't been given. I don't think we've been given a firm date for launch, but I think they're planning on doing like a traditional electronic store launch where it'll be available in like Best Buys and stuff.
Cool. Oh, hey, watches. I haven't gotten to see the Huawei watch. I've just seen the pictures and the pictures we took, but wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I have gotten to wear and see and feel and touch and slobber all over the LG Watch Urbane. Maybe a little less wow, but still really cool. And the LTE one, which is chunkier, but still very cool. And it's also, yes, it's WebOS. It's, yes, it's the Audi watch we saw at CES. But wow. So a lot of cool stuff in watches. Z4 tablet. It's a nice, thin Sony tablet.
Did they talk about a U.S. release for that?
For a Sony?
Yes, for the Sony
tablet. No, I don't think I remember hearing that.
They Sony tablets always seem to get lost in the shuffle here.
They do. They have. I tell you, anything non-Nexus tablet at this point, to me, is just kind of, I don't know. Maybe just because I
see a Z4 tablet I could play PlayStation on, though.
It's really nice, yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with Samsung stuff. Samsung makes really nice tablets. They kind of make too many of them, and I have a hard time keeping them separate. But yeah, I mean, for me, the tablets are almost just a matter of specs and price, and we need to do better at that, I think. What else? Let me look through the Q&A. What you guys think about anything else we missed? Wendell wants to ask about the MVNO thing. Sundar was in Barcelona and said, yes, it's happening. It's probably going to be a limited thing, sort of Nexus-y, and now we're hearing more rumors that it's going to only work with the Nexus 6. There's some people who are thinking maybe it'll work directly with Google Voice. I don't know.
But we have to remember that, you know, Google does a lot of things that are tiny experiments to see what they can do. This is probably going to be one of those rather than some huge-scale consumer launch.
That's what I meant when I said on Google Play today, or on Google Plus today, that, okay, so we've got this, you know, limited region thing. They're going to, where is it, Puerto Rico, they're doing it, you know, on an island in the middle of the Caribbean that's going to work with one phone. Okay. I mean,
oddly enough, that's where Project Era is going to be, too.
Oh, is that what Puerto I was thinking Rico. Instead? Did I confuse my projects? I might have.
Maybe.
Ara's in Puerto Rico.
All right.
Yeah. See, I didn't want to correct you. I thought maybe you knew something that
no,
I didn't know.
No, no, I think I was going to my projects.
I was going to work on you after the podcast.
No. I don't know anything. I think I confused it. Jason asks, do we expect to see anything new in the way of Android Wear? Yes.
Always.
I mean, what and when, I have no idea, but yes. I can't wait. Actually, I need to get the stupid G-Watch R to update. How do I do that without hacking it? Because I'm just lazy.
Just checking for an update?
Yeah, you push in the update button.
You guys are no help.
Well, I mean, you said without any hacking of it. If you want to hack at it, download the update and sideload it.
Maybe this weekend.
Take it into your kitchen, grab a knife, and threaten it a little. Just let it know that you mean business, and then it'll update for you.
Get a virtual knife and do it. We're going down to the bottom. What's going on the bottom? Do you think there's a chance we might see these new flagships start with cross-network SKUs like the Nexus 6, or do you think carrier pressure or cost will continue to hold that back? I can say with certainty that you'll see different SKUs of the M9. I don't know about Samsung.
You know that we can't be surprised. AT&T doesn't want to pay extra to buy a phone that works with Sprint. I mean, if it's going to cost any extra money, these carriers are going to say no.
Yeah, this is the way it is. Duncan wants to know: did anyone get an opportunity to speak with Sony? Did they indicate what their new release cycle window for the premium Z line of phones would be? I know the Z4 was never guaranteed, but I was really hoping for it at MWC. No, I have no idea. Would not surprise me to see that back at IFA, and that's that.
Yeah.
In the fall.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that, though. I really want to see a Sony phone that I really want to use. Like the Z3 just kind of teased me a little bit.
Right. I think.
Yeah, there are a lot.
I made a mistake of not buying it.
There are a lot of people there this week with the Z3 Compact. A lot of them, including Alex. So, Duncan also asks, I've been reading LG has announced they're releasing a new phone line this year above the G line. Is this likely? If so, do you have any idea of the release window? I don't know anything about above the G line.
We have a lot of people very excited about rumors this week.
Yes.
Yep.
You guys know
more,
how I feel about
more
that.
More so than usual. Which is funny because one of the comments is, I know how much you guys love rumors, and then talks about a rumor that none of us are talking about.
Man, I mean, I get that people love rumors, but as somebody who has to deal in facts for a living, or at least as much as possible, and there are a whole lot of facts to keep straight, so I don't want to borrow trouble. That's my thing. Danny also wants to know, if you had to choose between the M9 and the S6, which one would you choose? I don't know. I really want to use the S6 for a while, because I have a pretty good idea of what the M9 is going to be like to use. I've used the M8 for a long time. I'm using it now. I've used the M9 for a day and a half, which obviously isn't a lot, but, you know, it is.
I will say, if given the choice between the S6 and the S6 Edge, I would probably choose the S6. And maybe that's because I'm boring. Well, I you know, as someone who fumbles with gadgets for a living, I want to play with both. But if I had to, just on what I know so far, pick one for, like, my next daily driver, between the two, I would probably go with the S6.
I got $5 as Russell changes his mind.
Oh, that's, yeah.
What do you think, Jerry?
Absolutely possible.
I don't know. I really don't know. I've not seen how functionally better this curved display can be. After I see it and see reasons why I think it's better, then I'll have a little bit more input on it.
Are we going to see a new Moto X in 2015? Asked Denny.
We're going to see something. I mean, not that it was the world's most popular phone, but it probably actually made money this time around.
Maybe.
You know, it's a good phone. They can't kill something that good. They need to go back to the drawing board on a few things, but all in all, it's still a really good phone.
Anything else? What did we forget? I feel like we forgot some stuff.
You know what? Really, really the neatest thing that I saw come out of MWC without actually being there was that ZTE phone that's going to scan your iris for password protection.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot to be said about that. The details are still a little wonky, but it uses a third-party service, which alarms went off. Third-party,
right.
Iris, data, you know, that's a little weird. But the front-facing camera will scan your eyeball and use it the same way Samsung scans your thumbprint. If we get there, I'm overjoyed and a little scared at the same time.
No, I'm sorry. They do have fingerprint scanning. It's all in the back still. The Qualcomm fingerprint stuff looks really interesting too.
Yeah.
But that's
3D crazy virtual fingerprint technology.
Yeah. Well, and that's future tech. So
they can do it direct on the metal hardware. That's going to be your difference right there.
That's going to be really interesting in a while. God, I'm trying to think. Anything else we did or didn't do? The Lenovo Pocket Projector. I'm totally buying one of those. I mean, it's not like the world's best pocket, you know, world's best projector. I think it's 480 is all it is.
Yeah.
I saw somebody saying high def, and if, you know, if that's your definition of high def, cool.
You just want to get a picture of the bat signal every time you're at the pizza place. I know.
My kids, man. I mean, I'm going to put movies up on their wall for them.
That would be. You now you have to get one.
Yeah. $200, that'll be worth it. The tablets they have there are all right. It's tablets. Like, for me, it's just a matter of finding what you want, and they generally all run kind of the same ish.
Yeah.
So, what else did I see? Sony, Huawei. I mean, they're coming out with stuff, not so much at MWC, except for the watch. I'm picturing the booths in my mind, which is why I'm looking in the middle of nowhere. Alcatel and the Idol 3. So, I mean, we don't talk about Alcatel very often. But I really want to give these guys a go. Like, they are, you know, for sub $250 and $200 phones, there's a 4.7 inch and a 5.5 inch. I think it was 5.5. That sounds right.
I think so.
But I mean, they're plasticky. They're very plasticky. But for that price off contract, I think we need to take a look, because that space is getting really crowded really quick.
And, yeah, I have a feeling that they're going to do a little more in the U.S. this year with those. So
they're doing more in the U.S. with another with one of their other models as well.
Yep. So, yeah, and they announced the one with Cyanogen.
Yep.
The Hero 2 Plus, I think.
I just had it
Which open. I'm pretty sure is exactly the same as the Hero 2. Looking at the spec sheet side by side, I'm pretty sure that the plus is only the change in software, which is a bummer because from the hands-on that we did at IFA last year of the Hero 2, they actually had some really neat accessories for it, including like a scratch table for DJs to go with some of their software that kind of clipped onto the back and gave you this little physical scratch table to work with.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But I'm positive that none of that stuff is coming over with the CyanEngine guys.
The other thing that happened in the Idol 3, and I can't remember if it was on the smaller phone or just the bigger one, but it will intercept any music that comes in and let you like DJ it. It gives you, you know, little virtual turntables. Which I wondered about licensing and doing that and intercepting the music, but that was kind of interesting. Jerry can be a DJ.
All right. That was pretty cool. Jimmy Buffett and Jerry Reed, let's mix them.
You talk about getting phones for your kids and, like Motorola is the one that kind of dominates that in my brain right now.
Yeah.
But, I think these are worth taking a look at too. So it'll be really interesting, especially because they have deals with Walmart, I think. You know, so when you think about big box stores like that, really, really different stuff. So it's going to be such a busy spring. It's going to be so much fun.
I want to see a company try to knock Motorola off that mountain. I mean, that Windows Phone Nokia 635, it could have if anybody cared about it. It was that good, but these may be the ones that are that good. So I love it.
It's going to be a big, busy spring. With that, I think I'm going to stick a fork in it.
Yay!
I want to go see my family. I feel like I got home at 11 o'clock at night Wednesday, and I feel like I've barely seen them since then. So, but good post-mortem, I think. God, it's going to be an exciting year. It really is. I feel good for it. And I want to go live in a virtual world for a little while, I think.
Just not one, not a cardboard one.
Not a cardboard one. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. Call me at 888-468-6158, or just go to shopandroid.com. I think I saw, as we were podcasting, some M9 accessories are starting to drop in.
Nice.
So that's cool. That's it. Let's just get out of here. Russell, Jerry, thank you. Everybody at home, thank you. We've done a lot of podcasts in the last... in the last couple of weeks. Hey, by the way, if you didn't listen to last Friday's podcast, the one where we talked about cars and watches and all that stuff, we had Sam Abelsamid on, whom I've known for a while. Really interesting listen, so go listen to that if you somehow missed it. I think that was 224. Did you guys listen to it?
Yes, I did.
Yep. What do you think?
I think you brought up some really good points about the difficulty in moving cars from older technology to newer technology, especially when it comes to this infotainment stuff. And if anything, that emboldens my thought that CarPlay and Android Auto are the way to go moving forward.
Yeah, I actually think you all are maybe even underestimating how difficult it is going to be to get adoption of new tech in cars. But you guys pretty much nailed it.
It was a fun one to do. So go listen to that if you haven't. For everybody else, we will be back next week. Thank you. See ya.
Adios.
Say bye, Russell.
Woo! Testify.